Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's great to have you with us here on this Friday afternoon. Coming up in a few moments, it'll be Above the Noise with Dan Patrick. But first of all, we want to tell everyone that it is Friday, which means the weekend is upon us. High school football tonight. It'll be Shikellamy at Loyal Sock this evening that you'll hear on News Radio 1070 WKOK this evening. Kevin Herb and Dick Hort on the call this evening. And looking forward to that. Penn State football coming up tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jack Hamm and I, along with Lauren Crispell, Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman out at Memorial Stadium in Champaign as the Nittany Lions tomorrow open up Big Ten play against the Fighting Illini of Illinois. Noon the kickoff, airtime set for 10:30 tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. What do we have coming up today? I'll tell you about that in a moment. First of all, our show today being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the weekend. You need to stop at Brewers Outlet. Much more than just the beverages. The beverage supermarket is much more than that. Stop by, check it out. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury is Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Let It Be Solar Hotline, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Let It Be Solar. Go to LetItBeSolar.com. Coming up in a few moments, we'll hear Tim Beckman's teleconference, which was very interesting earlier this week from the Illinois coach. We'll also talk with Illinois broadcaster Brian Barnhart. We'll sit down here in the Sunbury Motor Studio with Ben Jones and Nate Mink from StateCollege.com to analyze Penn State football and the game. And we'll also hear from John Vooch, the director of scouting for the St. Louis Cardinals, and we'll talk with him and much more. But before we get to all of that, and Tim Beckman is next, Above the Noise, here is Dan Patrick.
Everything is on sale
at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln.
Everything is on sale,
and we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, all priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell, sell.
Check it out. A 40 mpg Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT, all priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the sporty Veloster, priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata, also available at around 20,000 bucks? And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from,
all at the lowest prices of the year.
So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop.
One place to stop.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now,
everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
Brewers Outlet Sunbury has all your football tailgating supplies. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And don't forget plenty of beer. Choose from a huge selection of imports and microbrews. Check out their incredible deals. They have everything that comes together to make a great beverage shoppable store. Then there's the fresh roasted peanuts daily and the help yourself pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the cooler weather. And don't forget the beer.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you up front for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted, local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones with you on a Friday afternoon on the Steve Jones Show. Don't forget On the Mark, Monday through Friday. Mark Lawrence had Ben Reichle on this morning. Yes, Ben Reichle was on today as they had the raucous Friday show this morning. Looking forward to a series of great shows that Mark has coming up next week with Mark Lawrence and On the Mark here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget, tonight is high school football. It'll be Shikellamy hitting the road tonight to take on Loyal Sock at 7 this evening. Kevin Hurd, Dick Hort with the call on that. Loyal Sock coming off a big win at Mount Carmel last week. And Shikellamy, of course, looking to bounce back. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yes, indeed, it is the weekend. Time to hit the beverage supermarket and go to Brewers Outlet and check out everything they have there. Not just the beverages, but great other great food items as well on Reagan Street in Sunbury. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. We're Nate Mink and Ben Jones from StateCollege.com will join us a little bit later in the show. And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Lenape Solar Hotline open today at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com. And we'll be utilizing the Lenape Solar Hotline a little bit later to talk with John Vooch, the Director of Scouting for the St. Louis Cardinals, and also to talk with Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football. But earlier in the week, Tim Beckman, the head football coach at Illinois, had his teleconference. Now, the first part of this is pretty standard stuff, but at the end, it didn't go as well, as you'll hear. He talks initially about going to Big Ten play.
Well, Tim, if you look at the path, the team we just played was 1-4 going into their conference. They won their conference last year, right? So we're going to attack 1-4. You've got a Georgia football team that I believe played in the championship and was 2-2 after their first four football games. You've got a Louisville football team that was, you know, considered co-champs that was 2-2. And you had a Toledo Rocket football team that was 1-3 after three devastating losses and a field goal that they called good, or a PAT they called good that wasn't. That was a loss. And we had to come back and battle back to have a chance to compete. So, this is what you play the game for. You play the game to be a champion. And, you know, I know our seniors are excited about getting in the Big Ten play. And is it a fresh start? I don't know. But they've been looking forward to getting in the Big Ten play because that's the ultimate goal, is to be a Big Ten champion. And Coach O'Brien's done a great job with that program. And you can see how they've progressed each and every week, from the Ohio U game all the way to this last week against Temple. They've got their 2-2. I mean, their goals and their dreams are the same. You know, they want to win the Big Ten championship, and this is their first opportunity for a Big Ten game. So, you know, we know that they'll be very physical up front, offensively and defensively. They're impressed with how physical they play. A defense is probably a little bit more veteran than the offense. Special teams that are very, very intact. They do a great job fundamentally. And you can see how they progressed through that system after two tough losses early.
A little bit about Zoyan. I mean, you were familiar with him last year, maybe a long distance, but this year it looks like he's improved.
Yeah, I just watching him as he goes throughout. I'm just acing on four games. You can see that he has progressed tremendously. What I like about him, again, here's a story of a walk-on that earned himself to be a starting Big Ten quarterback from what I've learned from him. I was talking to Eddie Valunas today, and Eddie brought that up to me also. And here Eddie is the same thing. He's a starting tight end in the Big Ten as a walk-on. So very impressive. And, you know, I think he does a great job of leading his football team and commanding the respect.
Specifically in the rushing game for Penn State, what do you see from that?
The rushing game, again, offensive line. You know, I look at their offensive center. I think he's a tremendous football player, watching him and evaluating the film. Running back-wise, you got a young man out of Youngstown, Ohio, that's carrying the football quite a bit for him that I know a lot about when he was playing in his Carter Mooney days. So, you know, I know they're very, very competitive, and they've run the football better and better each week. And play with a lot of two tight end sets, and know that they'll come in. It's Big Ten football. It'll be a physical football game.
Yeah, guys like Mowdy, Hill, Hodges, and that front seven. How do you game plan to attack a pretty veteran front seven?
They are good on their defensive front. And, you know, Hill is a very, very good football player. Watching him on film, comes off the ball very well. You know, I just think that they're a, you know, we're going to have to try to attack as quickly as we possibly can with quick hitters. You know, that was a little bit of the success that we were having in the football game Saturday. You know, and we've got to do what we do, and whatever we can control. I can't control, you know, what they do. We can control what we do. So, you know, I state that each week, and I know it gets repetitious, but it's the truth. You can only control what you can control in this game, and we've got to get better, you know, in all facets, really, offense, defense, and on special teams.
Special teams play so far.
Well, I'm proud of the way we've been punting the football. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, Akeem Spence is kind of the captain of that group, and he does a great job of, you know, he's the quarterback, and he does a great job of getting us prepared and ready and by putting us in the cold. So very proud of the way he's playing. I think Justin's playing the ball well. We've got to get better at our return games. Our, you know, we were there, and then of course the fumble on the recon. You know, that ball hit on the 10.5 yard line. We have to catch that football. I've talked about that for the last 9 months I've been here. We have to catch punts when we're supposed to catch punts. And you know, it was just in that gray area. But that's a game of football. It's a game of inches. And, you know, we've got an outside guy that's blocking and doing his job and trying to do it the best of his ability. And it hits on the 10.5 yard line and hits our leg and bowls in the end zone and scores. So we've got to catch those footballs, and we've got to be better on our return game. And Taylor Zalewski's done a fabulous job, and Zach Pedersen, because I know those guys don't get the names out there, but I think they've done a very, very good job progressing.
It's raising a question about Emeka. Back?
No, I can tell you that he will not be ready for this football game.
What's McGloin doing differently now than what he's been at the start of the season? It seems like he's gained more confidence. Maybe they're doing a little bit.
He makes plays. I mean, watching that film, that man makes plays. If he's pressured, he's getting out of it. He's getting the ball to his receivers quickly. And, you know, as I see him progress throughout the football season, I see that he's building more and more confidence in what he's doing. And, you know, he's been very productive these last 2 weeks, very proficient.
Does it look like that team likes to play for O'Brien?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And they like to play for Penn State. They like to play, you know, the same way I know. I believe our players like to play for the Illini, like to play for the coaching staff, for their families, for the tradition, and that's why you play college football.
We have some any questions from the phone lines. Go ahead and introduce yourself and then ask your question.
Tim, this is David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot News.
Yes, sir.
This, from a Penn State perspective, this subject is unavoidable, so I hope you'll hear me out here.
Sure.
It's a real hot subject around here, and however disingenuous, for instance, Urban Meyer and Brett Bielema might have been in Chicago as saying they wouldn't do it. You were very open about saying you would recruit Penn State players. Is any part of that candid nature that you expressed or doing it? Do you regret any of it, or would you have done it differently?
Well, you know, again, when the NCAA and, you know, I stated what we believed in, what the NCAA allowed us to do, we were contacted previously, prior to any of this stuff happening, by a young man, and we pursued it. We did not go and chase him. We told them that we would be off campus, and if they'd like to, they could. If they didn't like to, then we wouldn't pursue them any further.
So anyway, you don't regret any part of that, and do you think it'll impact the game from a competitive standpoint, because everyone here seems to be hot about it for one reason or another?
Well, you know, again, this game was, you know, developed, I believe, for opportunity, and, you know, when we had that opportunity to you know, go out and ask young men if they were, or they come to us and say that they would like an opportunity to speak to us, I mean, I think that's what college football is about, and, you know, I just, I regret that it ended up being this much and it's still talked about, but it did give a young man the opportunity to make his decision on what he wanted to do.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tim, Herb Gould, could you just sum it up again? I know you said at the top Nate's the starter. Just what's the plan, you know, overall on quarterback? Will you use both guys this week, and do you need to see a health factor on Nate?
Well, being Monday, I want to see what happens Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There's no question. But as I mentioned, I think both of our quarterbacks are capable. Nathan Shieldhouse is our starting quarterback. If he is prepared and ready and shows that on Tuesday and Wednesday, he will be our starting quarterback. But that's what you practice this game for, and having 12 opportunities and only 8 left in the Big Ten, you know, that's why we practice, and that's why we'll make that decision on Thursday.
Thanks.
Hey,
Tim, this is Scott Brown from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
Yes, Scott.
Yeah, hey, just follow up on Dave Jones's question. Did you have a chance to talk to Bill O'Brien either at Chicago or at any point after that, just to sort of explain your approach to him?
Yeah, in Chicago, I talked to him. And we spoke.
Do you expect any lingering hard feelings, or do you think things were resolved and worked out?
I mean, hope so. But you know, this game's about the players and about playing it on the field. And I know they'll be prepared. And I believe that Coach O'Brien does a great job. I know Coach O'Brien does a great job getting his players prepared and ready. And I think he's done a fabulous job, with that program. And we know that, it'll be a 60-minute battle, no question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, this is Tim Gilbert from the Philadelphia Daily News.
Sure.
At the Big Ten Media Days, I believe it was Mike Maddy who had some strong words about, you know, other coaches coming to Penn State and trying to get players. And it was figured that this is Penn State's first Big Ten game, and they're going to come into Illinois, you know, extremely fired up. How do you guys plan to match their intensity?
Well, I mean, again, this is our first opportunity to be in the Big Ten and to play in, our 2012 Big Ten season. Our ultimate goal is to be at 12-1-12, as we talked about. So I know our players will be excited about playing. And, hey, this Penn State's a good football team, and they're playing extremely well right now. We understand that. So, I know that the intensity will be matched because it's a Big Ten football game.
Any other questions from the phone line? Anything else here in the room?
What kind of talks have been around the team about Penn State and the situation
that we're in? Not a whole bunch. Hasn't been brought up here lately until today.
Okay. I guess bulletin board material. Can you talk about how big a deal or not big a deal that is, just in general? I mean, if a coach has the chance to use something like that.
I'm not big into that stuff. I never have been. It's about you know, still preparing the players and getting them excited about playing each and every week. And I know when you're playing your first Big Ten football game, you're going to be excited about playing it. And that's why you play the game. When you only have 12 opportunities and you shoot for 13 and 14, you know, I know that your seasons are short. So every game that you step out there on the football field, I hope they cherish it, and I hope they understand, and I do believe our players understand that, you know, the game of football goes by fast, so take advantage of each and every game you get out there in.
That was the rather interesting explanation of Tim Beckman, the Illinois football coach, who didn't exactly come up with what you would call the smoothest answer on the recruitment of Penn State players back in late July and early August. You figured he'd be prepared for it. He didn't act like he was prepared. All right, coming up in the second half hour, we will talk with John Boots, the director of scouting for the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll talk to him in the second half hour of the show later. Ben Jones and Nate Mink from StateCollege.com and Brian Barnhart from the Illinois Radio Network. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll come back with more coming up. The news in just a few moments here from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. News is next as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones with you on this Friday afternoon. Penn State football tomorrow. Noon will be the kickoff, 10:30 the airtime. Jack Cam, Roger Corey, Lauren Crispell, Jeff Tarman, and I will be at Memorial Stadium in Champaign for the game. Kevin Ure and Dick Court at Loyal Sock tonight. As Shikellamy takes on Loyal Sock, Loyal Sock coming off an impressive win at Mount Carmel last week. Shikellamy looking to bounce back, and that will be at 7 o'clock this evening. We're looking forward to Kevin and Dick Court's call tonight as Shikellamy plays at Loyal Sock. You'll hear it right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And don't forget, there'll be three other games on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations coming up tonight as well. But again, Penn State football tomorrow. Now, tomorrow will be an 11 o'clock Central Time kickoff. I'm going to tell you a quick story about that. It's noon Eastern time, but it's 11 Central time. So it'll be a, quote, fashionably late arriving crowd at Memorial Stadium in Champaign tomorrow. And by the way, today's show being brought to you by, as all our Friday shows are brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the weekend. You must stop at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, to stock up for the weekend. A lot of one-stop shopping there, that's for sure, at Brewers Outlet. And, of course, we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we'll have Nate Mink and Ben Jones from StateCollege.com here in the Sunbury Motors Studio in our next half hour to analyze Penn State and the showdown with Illinois tomorrow. All right, 11 o'clock Central Time kickoff. So it's going to be a fashionably late arriving student crowd tomorrow. I can't imagine they're filled in by noon tomorrow in the student section in Illinois. But I'll tell you a quick story that deals with Jack Ham and me and a Central Time kickoff. Joe Paterno liked to get the football team to the stadium about an hour and a half to an hour and 40 before kickoff. That was his pattern. That's how he did things. So I could not take any of the team buses in. Bill O'Brien likes to get there 2.5 hours ahead of time. Now I'm on the air an hour and a half before the game. So under the old system, I could not take the team bus in. I will take the third team bus in tomorrow, because I'll be able to get there in time. There's a segment I actually have to record once I get into the booth, and then I feed the pregame show with Bill O'Brien. And I've already taped the pregame show with Bill O'Brien. It's already done. Took care of that this morning up in the office. And it used to be that the old system was that I would go in on a Friday morning, home or away. Every once in a while on the road, Joe and I would tape the pregame show, but usually it was on a Friday morning. That was the pattern we got into in the latter stages of his career. And then I would find a way to get into the stadium, usually talk to another writer like a Rich Scarsella or Jeff Nelson would help set something up. Joe Giuliano would give us rides and so forth. I'd always have to take Friday night and scramble a little bit to get a ride in because I couldn't take the team bus because, again, when they're arriving an hour and a half to an hour 40 before the game, it's just too tight considering I'm on the air an hour and a half. So we're playing we're doing a game at Iowa, and Penn State is playing Iowa, and it's one of those 11 o'clock in the morning kicks. So, Cedar Rapids is 20 to 25 miles away from Iowa City. It'll take tomorrow at Illinois. It's actually a pretty short trip. I mean, it's maybe 10, 15 minutes to go from the hotel over, and that figures in traffic. Well, you're talking about a 25-mile trip from Cedar Rapids down to Iowa City, down 380, and then Interstate 80, and then to the stadium. So I get up around 6:30 Central Time. I'm all set. I get out of there at about 7:30 in the morning to get to Iowa City. I was able to get a ride in. I think this time it was with Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagles, just one of the great guys going. And so we go in together. I think Jeff Nelson was with us. And I get to the stadium. Probably park about... probably took altogether 45 minutes. So I'd probably park about 8:30 or so. And I'm in the press box at Kinnick Stadium at 8:45 Central Time, which is good because Learfield goes up in the satellite an hour ahead of time. Great. We're in good shape. So I record what I need to record, about 9 o'clock, and then we feed the pregame show with Joe. Well, 9 o'clock becomes 9:15. There's still no Jack Ham. 9:20, still no Jack. 9:25, still no Jack. We're on the air at 9:30. 9:27, he comes in and he's, oh. I said, you all right? He said, looks at me, he says, I called you this morning. I said, okay. He says, you weren't there. I said, yeah, no, I'm here. He says, I wanted to ride in together. He says, you and I kind of talk about the game, talk about the week, the whole thing. He says, it's a lucky thing you didn't go with me. I said, okay, why is that? He says, well, my driver doesn't have a parking pass. I said, okay. He says, he had to drop me off 2 miles from the stadium. He says, I've been running ever since. He says, I'm not in the same shape I used to be in. He says, when I was with the Steelers. He's still in great shape, by the way, I can tell you that. So if I had gone in with him, he'd have made it by 9:27. I'd have made it by 10:27, so lucky it worked out a different way. Affiliations in minor league baseball. We'll take a quick transition there. And when you talk about affiliations in minor league baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies are sticking with the Williamsport Crosscutters, but State College is making a major change. In 2006, they were with the St. Louis Cardinals, who in 2006 won the World Championship. Now, of course, in 2011, they came back and won it again last year. And after 6 years with the Pirates, the Spikes are going back to the St. Louis Cardinals for the next 2 years in 13 and 14. Ironically, the State College franchise has produced 16 major league players. 9 of them were from that Cardinals franchise in 2006. John Vooch is the director of scouting for the St. Louis Cardinals and the head of the minor league department for the Cardinals. And on the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar, lenapesolar.com, 1-800-795-9565. We bring in John Vooch now. John, welcome. It's great to have you on board.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on.
All right. Well, let's talk about the importance of the affiliation from the Cardinals' point of view. I know in 2006, when it was over, the Cardinals fought very hard to stay with State College, and in the end, it was the lure of being with Pittsburgh. What is it about the State College market that the moment that the Spikes were, quote, a free agent, the Cardinals wanted to jump in?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, one thing would be the facilities. It's certainly a beautiful facility there. It's compared to where we were previously, the batting cages, just the overall quality of the facility is an upgrade for us. And, that's certainly attractive to it. Another thing is really just the relationships we had with the people there. And the way the front office with the State College Club treated our staff when we were in Batavia in terms of just they run a first class operation, and that's really attractive to us. And then you know, a lot of teams will take care of their home guys, but they don't take care of the visiting guys. And that's our staff. You know, even when they're with Batavia, you know, every year it'd be like, hey, any chance to get back with State College? You know, they were really treated well there. And so I think that was you know, one of the big things too, is just kind of the relationship with them on a personal level. And just really, you know, it's just a great fit for us. I mean, we're excited to be there. The travel is you know, it's a good fit geographically in that regard. So it's just a really, we're just excited to be back, and you know, we're working with a great group of people there.
The Cardinals define a professional organization from top to bottom. Give me an idea of the importance when you draft a player or sign a player and then want to send them someplace such as State College, that they feel like they're within that professional atmosphere the Cardinals try to cultivate.
Well, that's a great point. And that's one of the things now, we've also recently switched from Quad Cities to Peoria. So really, if you look at our organization from top to bottom, I mean, you know, Memphis is a phenomenal facility. Springfield is a great place. You know, Palm Beach is our Major League Spring Training headquarters. Peoria is a beautiful ballpark. You guys and State College have a great place. And so really, no matter where we send our players, you know, they know that they're going to be going to a great facility. And obviously State College, the town itself is a wonderful place to send kids. And so we're excited to, you know, I think it's going to be a great place. And when you try to sign a player, you know, one of the things they look at is you know, where are you going to be sending my son? And so I think they think it's going to be a great fit for us there.
I have to ask you about a 2006 State College alumnus that was not a player. It was the hitting coach, Mike Shildt. Give me an idea of the job he has done for you within the organization, and especially of late at AA Springfield.
Well, Shildt's done a phenomenal job for us. He's been managing for, I think, 4 years, and the last 3 years he's won championships at the league he's at. And, you know, it's one of the things that we don't just judge our managers on winning and losing, because there's a lot of things that go into it. Obviously, players get moved up, players get moved out. And so they don't have a lot of control over the players that they're going to have there. But the big thing with Mike is he really kind of emphasizes the teaching part of it. That's really what we preach to all of our managers and coaches. And then, you know, having our players maximizing their abilities, learning as they go along. And so I think that's really one of Mike's strengths is the teaching part of it. And I think he also is a competitive guy, and he does things that helps his team win games. And I think part of it is, you know, we prioritize developing players over winning, but there's no reason that you can't do both. And I think there's a lot of times winning is a form of development, and teaching players how to play winning baseball and doing the things that need to be done. And Mike does a great job with really emphasizing both to his players that you know, look, we're trying to develop you, we're trying to teach you, but we're also trying to win along the way.
Something that the Cardinals were in 2006, very active. There were a lot of people here. Many sat in the broadcast booth with me from time to time. The importance from your standpoint that you are out and among the prospects, how much does that weigh in the importance level for you?
Well, I think it is important for, you know, I try to get out and see all of our clubs at least two trips into each city. And I think it's something that you know, we've got more rovers now than we've had in the past in terms of roving instructors. Gary LaRock is a special assistant to the general manager. He's out as much as I am, if not more. To all of our clubs, so we have a lot of people going through and seeing these players, and really what we do is that we have a lot of eyes on all of our players, so we get a variety of opinions, but we really end up relying a lot on the managers and coaches at those clubs, because those are the guys that are seeing the players day in, day out. They're seeing them through at their best, at their worst. And if I'm going through to a city, I might catch a player having the best week of his career, I might catch a player having the worst week of his career. So yeah, I certainly have my opinion on a player, but I also rely on everybody else who's seeing them, and especially the managers and coaches who work with them daily.
There were new draft rules in place this year, John, that in terms of the ability to sign within this particular year, I think July 13th was the signing deadline. Give me an idea from player development how much that helped, not just the ball club, but the players themselves, that they were acclimated at this level.
Well, I think it was a fantastic rule change, because what it does is it basically got all of those players out there in time to have a meaningful first half season of baseball, where in prior years, your better prospects especially would end up waiting until the deadline to sign, whether it was August 15th or whether it was when school started. And a lot of times you'd get guys signed, but there really wouldn't be any time for them to get any kind of meaningful instruction, where now you know by the middle part of July if a guy's going to sign or not. And so even if he signs at the latest possible date, there's still a month and a half left of the season. You can send them out to the club. he gets acclimated to pro ball, and I think it really benefits the player, but obviously it benefits the organization because we can start teaching sooner, and it benefits the minor league clubs themselves and the fans because they get to see these higher players get to the clubs right away.
You talked about your ability to go out and make at least at minimum two trips to every site, but there are also other members of the organization that do it as well. The Cardinals are typically, because of the quality of the franchise, in the thick of a race, whether it's the winning the division or, as they are in this particular year, in the thick of a wild card situation. And, of course, last year won as a wild card, won the entire thing. When you get to July and there's some thoughts of making a deal, give the fans an idea of the importance of not just knowing what you're acquiring, but also having a deep understanding of actually what you have within the organization and what you might be losing.
Well, that's a great point, and that's one of the things that really one of our biggest points of emphasis is that we always feel the need. We should know our own players better than anybody else, and so if the team comes to us for a trade, you know, we need to know who can we afford to give up, who can't we afford to give up. Sometimes it's a matter of depth. You know, the players we gave up, and really the last 2 years, we've made deals at the deadline that have played a big role in us winning. I mean, we picked up Furcal right at the deadline last year for Alex Castellanos, and Castellanos is a fine player. We traded Zach Cox this year to get Edward Mujica, who's done a great job for us out of the bullpen. And you know, I don't think we would have won last year without getting Furcal. So, and one of the things that we do on the player development side is we really, you know, we're trying to develop players for the big league club, and that's one of our goals, but the other goal is also to make players attractive for other organizations that we can acquire ready major league talent that way. And so that's really comes down to you want to identify which players are the right ones to include in a deal and which ones you don't want to give up at any cost.
Yeah, one of them a few years ago was a deal you made with San Diego. You gave up Luke Gregerson in the deal, and Gregerson was a good pitcher here, but in the end it benefited the Cardinals too. Both teams ended up winning, but you also knew what you were giving up.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, you're not trying to fleece the other organization because you always want to be up front, you know, especially if there's an injury or something like that involved. And then, you know, the best trades are the ones that benefit both clubs. And then, you know, in the case of like a Furcal deal last year, the Dodgers weren't in the competition, so they felt like they wanted to unload a major league player and get somebody that was going to help them in the future. And I think Castellanos still has a bright future ahead of him. I think Zach Cox still has a bright future ahead of him. But neither of those guys were ready to contribute to us at the major league level at that point. And so, you know, we felt that was the right move to make, and I think it's worked out well for both sides.
You're also identifying, though, areas of depth where you feel like, look, if I do deal this guy, I still think I have, just pick a spot, three other shortstops that we think are really good prospects. So identifying areas of depth really important for you in the organization, correct?
Exactly. And, you know, in the case of Cox, I mean, we felt like we had David Freese and Matt Carpenter ahead of him on our internal depth chart at third base, so... And obviously, Freeze is still fairly young. Carpenter's even younger, and so we felt like that was a position that we were going to be well stocked, in the future. And not to mention, we've got guys like Wisdom and Carson Kelly, who we drafted this past year, who are third basemen as well. And so we felt like we were protected in the near term, and also protected in the long term. And that's what made a guy like Cox, even though we still feel he's a prospect, it made him, you know, somewhat expendable, or at least somebody that we would be willing to consider dealing.
Working hard down the stretch with such a successful organization, give us a mindset of what it is like on a daily basis within the St. Louis Cardinals. In other words, what is the mission statement of the Cardinals that plays out every day for you?
Well, on the big league side, it's really we expect to win, and when we are striving to win the championship every year, and that's anything less than that is a disappointment to us, and we carry that mindset over on the minor league side as well, because we everything we do on the minor league side derives from what they do on the big league side, whether it's, you know, our cutoffs and relays, our bunt plays, just our overall philosophy. And then, you know, again, we're not going to compromise development to win games at the minor league level, but we don't feel like we have to apologize for winning at the minor league level either. And that's something that, you know, playing winning baseball is something that, you know, you want players to learn that from the beginning and then learn to play the game the right way. And so, again, we, you know, winning is an important part of the game to us, whether it's major leagues or the minor leagues. But, you know, development on the minor league side, developing championship players for championship clubs is really kind of our philosophy.
All right, and finally, one final question for you. And of course, the players here, you'll find out the field they'll play on will be as fine a field as they'll play on, including Busch Stadium, which is a big plus. But the personal relationships in developing with a Jason Dombach, for example, as the general manager, or a Chuck Greenberg as the managing partner, the importance of that for the Cardinals and vice versa.
Oh, exactly, and that was really a big part of what made State College attractive. There's a lot of good minor league facilities out there now, and that's one of the great things in minor league baseball in general. I think the facilities as a whole have gotten better, but you know, having a chance to work with those guys, and then you know, just you know, again, the way they treated our staff, even when they were in the opposing uniforms, you know, says a lot about the quality of the character of those guys. And so, yeah, I was excited when I texted Chuck at 12:01 when the minute we were allowed to do it, and he replied right back. You know, we had a great conversation that night. You know, Jason was a great host when I came up to State College for the press conference, and you know, it's a great group of guys to work with, and the whole staff there. I mean, I got to meet a lot of the guys in the front office there. A great group of guys, and then you know, that's something that you know you're comfortable sending your players up there to work with those guys because you know they're going to be in good hands.
John, it's great to have you and the Cardinals on board with the two-year deal. I know I look forward to seeing you often over the next couple of years and appreciate the time you gave us and, of course, any time the Cardinals give us.
Well, I appreciate you having me on here.
John Vooch from the St. Louis Cardinals. So there's been a shuffling of franchises, but not at Williamsport. The Crosscutters have re-upped with the Philadelphia Phillies. That's great news for area fans. Because the Crosscutters, with the Philly affiliation, is exactly what the fans in our area want. They want to go to Reading. They want to go to Williamsport to see the prospects. So for the fans in our area here in the Susquehanna Valley, everything has stayed the same with the Phillies re-upping with the Williamsport Crosscutters. But there was a big change with State College going back to the St. Louis Cardinals. That means that the Pirates ended up in Jamestown at Dietrich Park, and that is a dramatic change for them. I'll just leave it at that, but a dramatic change. So the Pirates ended up in Jamestown. The Cardinals moved from Batavia to State College. Williamsport stays steady with the Philadelphia Phillies, and that Philly agreement with the Phillies, I think, has been of great benefit to Williamsport, and I think it's been of great interest to the fans of the Susquehanna Valley to have the Phillies minor league affiliate so close by. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we took a little detour to baseball. We've already heard from Tim Beckman, the football coach at Illinois, with his rather interesting explanation about recruiting Penn State players. We heard from Tim Beckman in the opening half hour. Just heard from John Vooch of the St. Louis Cardinals here in the second hour and in the second half hour. Coming up in the next half hour here at the Sunbury Motors Studio, we'll bring in Nate Mink and Ben Jones from statecollege.com to talk Penn State football and analyze this week's showdown with Illinois. Don't forget about Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Then at 4:35, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, Brian Barnhart. That's what we have coming up here on the show today. High school football tonight, Chickalimmie at Loyal Sock, 7 o'clock, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.